Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight it's my pleasure to welcome Stan Ellis. He's known as an innovative strategist, compelling teacher, dynamic thought provoker, and inspiring motivator. He has a strong presence, high energy, and is known for his passionate and powerful delivery. Stan helps people who are seeking to advance their life to think in new ways they've never considered so they can gain the edge that will propel them to the next level of life. He's been studying and communicating creative strategies and solutions for the past 20-plus years. Stan has been speaking to audiences for the past 20 years in churches, schools, and seminars. He always aims for a passionate and powerful delivery. He enjoys his position as teaching pastor at Christian Life Center, a multicultural church of over 2,000 members in Kalamazoo, Michigan, with a second location in Grand Rapids. He created and developed the popular blog called Spiritual Legislator, where he writes about creative spiritual energy strategies and life strategies for shifting your life to the next dimension. Stan is the author of the enlightening book called Transition, Mastering Life's Movements. It's designed to help bring clarity and purpose to life's contradictions and offers compelling strategies for navigating through life's maze. Stan has been married to his wife Evelyn for almost 30 years, and they have three beautiful young adult daughters. And so let me introduce Stan, as I already have. Stan, let me ask you again, how are you tonight?
I'm incredible. I'm doing amazing. Life is great. And I really appreciate being here tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you here. And I imagine that most times when you're asked that question, you answer in mostly the same way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's the secret to being incredible and amazing all the time, or most of the time?
Well, it's all perspective. You know, when you think about the fact that we're here, and you have to think about how many things had to have gone right for us to be where we're at right now. Most people think about how many things have gone wrong, but just think about all the millions of things that had to go right for you to be where you're at right now. So that's why I always feel like, man, I'm doing incredible. What an incredible experience just to be here.
Well, it sounds to me that the attitude is everything. You mentioned perspective, but I'm hearing a lot of gratitude mixed in there. And I've often heard people say that they think that's one of the most important attitudes that a person can adopt. What do you think about that?
I agree. I tend to be vision-oriented, and when you're vision-oriented, you're always somewhere in your future while trying to manage your present. And sometimes it's easy to fail to be thankful and fail to have gratitude because you're trying to push to the next level. So I have to deliberately practice gratitude. So I've got five or six different areas of my life, and I've listed 10 or 12 different things about that particular area that I'm thankful for. And I actually just pull out my list of items that I've written down, and I review them on a regular basis as a way to stay thankful. I mean, that's a bit academic, but, you know, I tell you, it just keeps it in perspective how many things that I have to be grateful for and how many things that I have to be thankful for.
Well, you know, I think that's a wonderful tool that a lot of people should employ, because life can throw us curveballs now and then. And if we're not careful, we'll get thrown off track. What is your secret to staying the course?
Well, I think one of the most powerful things that employ that, you know, perhaps others might consider employing is managing the moment. So I'm trying to stay present in this moment right here. And if I can manage this moment right here, it's always this moment. It's always the present moment. So if I can just manage the moment and focus on simply managing the moment, then I can learn to master the twists and turns that life throws at me. So that's what I try to do. I try to just focus on this moment right here. And what do I need to do to manage this moment right here? I mean, if it's something great that's going on, the best way to manage that is to try to grasp all of the pleasure that the present moment has, because this moment right here will never return again. There'll be other great moments, but never this one right here. So I try to extract from the present moment, if something pleasurable is happening, all that I can out of that moment, knowing that that moment will never return again. And if something difficult is happening, I simply bring all my energy to that particular challenge and just manage what's before me at that moment. If you can just master managing the moment, then you can really master your entire life, because it's always the present moment.
How do you manage to stay centered in the present moment when you are so future-oriented as well?
That's tricky. That's awful tricky to manage. You know, when you are vision-oriented, again, you're always reaching towards your future while living in your present. So, you know, you have to practice thinking into tomorrow while living into today. It's not the easiest thing to do. So I have to constantly remind myself, as I'm thinking about advancing and pursuing new levels, I have to always remind myself that I don't want to ignore the present moment while trying to pursue something in the future. I don't want to miss the journey in pursuit of the destination, because what I found is while I'm pursuing milestones in life, if I go too fast and I look back, you know, everything became a blur, and it could have been that the actual journey to the particular milestone was the actual destination, and I could have missed the journey in pursuit of the destination. So I'm just constantly reminding myself that this present moment is incredible, and I want to be in this present moment while I'm also pursuing my destiny, while I'm pursuing my future.
That sounds like a paradox.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very tricky.
Well, life is full of them, that's for sure, and the spiritual life especially.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your book, for starters. Your book is Transition, Mastering Life's Movements. Tell us what it's about.
This book is all about, you know, without a doubt, that something has ended and you know you can't return to it, but the next thing has started and you haven't yet arrived in it. You're somewhere between where you are and where you're going to be. It's like your right foot, perhaps, is on your present while your left foot is stepping into your future. Your body is in today while your mind and your spirit is already into tomorrow. You're between a level. I mean, it's almost like if I had a glass of water in my right hand and an empty glass of water in my left hand, and I begin to pour the water from the glass in my right hand into the empty glass, at some point the water would not be in either glass. It wouldn't be where it was, neither would it be where it's going. But it would be between a level. And if the water was intelligent, the water would say, I'm okay with that. Because the water would understand that something is ended that it can't go back to, but it's not quite into the thing that God is calling it into yet. But it's headed somewhere, and it's headed somewhere great. So that's what this book is all about. It's about being in that place, and I give some compelling and effective ways to navigate your way through those transitional periods that we all find ourselves in.
What are some of those ways, Stan?
Well, I'd say we can go on and on when you ask me that question, but one of the first things that comes to mind is let go of what's leading.
Let go of what?
Of what's leading. Let go of what's leading.
Okay. Can you explain that?
Sure. Anything that leaves your life does you a favor by allowing room for God to come along and replace it with something better.
Gotcha. I thought you were saying let go of what's leading instead of leaving. So that makes sense to me now.
Yes.
Sorry for the interruption.
Let go of what's leaving. Oh, never a problem. You know, so anything that leaves your life wasn't yours permanently anyway. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you can do is let go of what's leaving and embrace what's coming. A way to navigate your way through transition is oftentimes when you're in transition, things become messy. Sometimes things in your life leave. Sometimes people in your life leave. Relationships, sometimes assignments, connections to an institution or an organization, or your association with a title that you might identify yourself with. Sometimes all of those things fall apart, or some of those things fall apart, or the season for those things is up. And so I like to say, when God gives you a clean plate, be careful what you put on it. So sometimes we experience periods where things are disappearing in our life. And sometimes we feel like it might feel like it's a tragedy when it's actually promotion. And so when you have those periods where a relationship falls apart, or your connection with an organization or an institution or a title becomes dismantled, then God is cleaning your plate. And sometimes God cleans your plate so he's the only thing left on it. A clean plate leads to a clear head. So we should embrace those moments when some things are being dismantled from us. Sometimes our identity is being dismantled so we can regain a new identity.
I was just thinking, how important is it for us to embrace every experience in our life, whether it feels good or not, as a blessing? And how do we do that?
We have to understand, first of all, our destiny is intelligent. Every single human being has a destiny. I would define your destiny as a pre-established course for your life designed by your Creator. So I would say your Creator decides your destiny, but you have to discover it. And in discovering your destiny, sometimes twists and turns will come. Sometimes contradictions will come. Unexplained things will come. Opposition will come. But if you understand that you have a destiny, we have to learn that there's going to be some blessing even in the craziest thing that could happen to you. For example, recently I was experiencing a little bit of an affliction, a physical affliction. And it forced me to, in an effort to try to alleviate this discomfort that I was feeling in my body, I just began to do some research on, you know, supplements that I could take that would produce a positive effect long term. I began to look at some dietary changes, and I began to make some drastic changes. This thing forced me to look at my diet. It forced me to look at just my overall lifestyle, and I made some drastic changes in an effort to address this affliction. And over the course of 6 or 7 months, without trying, I lost about 15 pounds. I didn't need to lose any weight, but I lost about 15 pounds. When I went for my annual exam, my blood pressure, my cholesterol readings, all those readings were better than they had ever been. And it was an outgrowth of me responding to something very negative happening in my body. So, you know, we can find something positive in even the worst of experiences, because I believe that God never wastes any experience that you encounter in your life. So we have to open our eyes when things seem bleak or things seem like they're like it's opposing you, because you can find some level of wisdom or some gift in the chaos. It's just a matter of
how do we manage.
You know,
go ahead.
Oh no, you were about to ask how do we manage.
Yeah, I just wondered how we manage to go with the flow when there seems to be chaos all around us.
Well, I don't always just go with the flow. Sometimes I feel like there's opposition, there's spiritual opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like I'm in the midst of spiritual opposition, I will oppose what's opposing me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily just go with everything that comes in life. You know, some people, there's a common saying, you know, just take life as it comes. I don't necessarily subscribe to that. Just anything that comes, that we're supposed to just take it.
Right.
So I believe sometimes things that come to us that are clearly coming to oppose us, we need to respond as if, you know, it's an enemy. I mean, there are certain things way beyond our control that, you know, you learn to stay calm, stay in peace, realize that your destiny is taking you somewhere. And but sometimes, you know, you're just facing some kind of spiritual opposition. And I think that when you recognize it, you need to oppose what's trying to oppose you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't mean to imply that we need to remain in a place where we are not engaging with life and taking stands for what we believe in. But I found in my own life that I've often resisted things that would be helpful for me to embrace in order to grow. And
that's
so
very good,
I guess I was talking more along those lines, because I find that resistance can be a very negative thing for me. I find that what I want to do is allow Spirit to fill me and lead me, if
yes.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, I think that goes back to understanding that your destiny is intelligent. Your destiny knows where it's trying to take you. And so have a level of trust in the fact that your destiny is powerful enough to know, even if, you know, something doesn't appear to be cooperating with where you think you should be going, to always stay calm, knowing that your destiny is not only are you pursuing your destiny, but your destiny is pursuing you.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the other strategies that you talk about in your book?
There's certain things that I believe that we need to reach for when we're in transition. I think we need to reach for the right focus. We need to reach for the right people. And we need to reach for the right environments. And in terms of, I'll just pick, in terms of the right people, I think we need to try to locate three types of people when we're in transition. We need to try to make sure that we have friends, fighters, and forerunners. And if you will allow me, I'll just articulate what I mean by each of those three.
Please.
Okay, so friends love you for who you are while you're becoming what you're not. So friends are non-judgmental. Friends just
mm-hmm.
love you. Friends don't try to change you. They leave that up to mentors. Friends are people who love you when you're not feeling the love. So when you're in transition, when you're in a period where you're not necessarily sure where you're going or what's next, you're not sure what's around the corner, you can't predict your tomorrow, you need at least one friend or a set of friends, a set of individuals who simply love you for who you are with all your flaws. They're not trying to change you. They're not trying to improve you. They're just embracing where you're at while you're trying to advance to where you're going. You need at least one friend or a set of friends. But then you also need fighters. A fighter is someone who carries you in their heart. A fighter is someone who is ready to go to war with you. When you call them and say, hey, I need your support, before you even call them, they could tell you, I knew you needed my support, and I was already putting these steps in place to support you. A fighter is someone who go to war with you. If you need them to pray with you, if you need them to cry with you, if you need them to defend you, that's what a fighter is. It's someone who's married to the same change that you're married to. They're willing to get in there and get their hands dirty along with you. They're willing to deflect while you're trying to regain your bearing. You need fighters. You need somebody that'll stick up for you, somebody that'll fight for you, someone that'll speak up for you. And then you need at least one forerunner. A forerunner is someone who has already gone through what you're going through, and they've come out on the other side without smelling like smoke. It's someone who already experienced the pain that you're experiencing. They've already gone through what you've gone through. A forerunner is someone, for example, who has already moved to another state without a support system and somehow landed on their feet. And not only are they surviving, but they're thriving. A forerunner is someone who went through a difficult divorce and came out on the other side and find themselves to be better instead of bitter. A forerunner is someone who battled through that illness and they came through it and now they're walking and living healthy. And not only have they gone through what you're, but they have the graciousness to walk you through it. They have the graciousness to sit you down and tell you what to expect next because they've already been through what you're going through. When you look at your forerunner, you're looking at a prophecy of your future. So that's what I say. You need the right people. You need friends. You need fighters. And you need forerunners when you're in transition.
You also talked about environment and one other thing, and I don't recall what that was.
Focus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you need the right focus when you're in transition. See, when you're in transition, your mind is all over the place. When you're in transition, your mind will try to tell you if it's going to occur as opposed to when or that it's going to occur. So your mind will give you a lot of opposing thoughts, and because maybe a relationship fell apart, or maybe you became detached from an organization or a job that you've relied on, or maybe a marriage fell apart, or maybe you're facing some kind of illness. When you're in transition, your mind tends to wander all over the place, and so you need to have the right focus. See, creativity is the gathering of ideas and options and alternatives. The focus is the elimination of ideas, options, and alternatives, except for one, and that's the one that you're going to focus on during this season. So you need to find the right focus, and the right focus is being in perfect alignment with your creator, being in perfect alignment with your creator. So whatever God is trying to lead you into, whatever God is trying to guide you to, that's what you want to focus on when you're in transition. You want to have a single-minded focus, and that's perfect alignment with God Almighty. And then you need the right environment. Now, when I say the right environment, I would say you need peaceful environments. And when I say peace, I don't necessarily even mean free of conflict. But I mean, when I say peaceful environments, I mean being in a place where you're not using your energy to fight battles where there's no spoils to gain. So don't debate when you're in transition. Don't spend time trying to explain your transition to someone when you don't fully understand it yourself. So stay away from debating and arguing and quarreling and bickering, because you're using the energy you need for building, you're using that for fighting. You need to conserve your best energy for building as opposed to for quarreling and fighting. So I would say the focus on the right environment would be environments that are peaceful.
That makes sense to me. We've talked a lot about the word transition, but how do you actually define it?
I have several definitions for transition. I'll give you four.
Okay.
Definition number one would be transition is when one season of your life abruptly ends and you're forced to enter a new season. One season of your life abruptly ends and you're forced to enter a new season. For example, maybe you woke up one morning, everything seemed normal, the sun was shining, you went and showered, got dressed, had breakfast, began to commute into a job that you loved, you love the people that you work with, there's even a potential for advancement, only to be told before the end of the day, you're being laid off, it's over. So you woke up one morning, gainfully employed, and went to bed that night unemployed. Something abruptly ended, and now you're forced to enter a new season. Maybe you're in a relationship, and all of a sudden this relationship that was on good ground began to be on shaky ground. You did everything you could to hold it together, but for some reason or another, you weren't able to hold it together, and this very viable relationship is now falling apart, and the realization that you have to walk forward without this person that you've been so close to is looming in your right there in your face. So something has ended, and you're forced to enter a new season. Maybe someone close to you passes away. Maybe it's a parent. If it's a parent, that would be the first time in your life that you've never had that person in your life. You know, you think about the fact that a parent dies on that day, that's the first day that your parent has not been, you know, physically in your life. Again, something abruptly happened and you're forced to enter a new season. So that would be my first definition. My second definition is transition is those seemingly insecure and unpredictable times in your life where you're not sure where you're going or what's next. You've reached a point where you can't predict what your tomorrow is. You know what your today is like, but something shaky is going on in your life, and you really have no clue what's around the corner. Definition number three is transition is when God disqualifies you from your present in favor of your future. So it's almost like you're being kicked out of your today, but it's always in favor of your tomorrow. Sometimes God becomes more impatient with your present than you do. And so sometimes God causes things in your present to become discombobulated to cause you to begin to pursue your future. So it might feel like it's demotion when it's really a promotion. And God is trying to disqualify you from your present because he's trying to shift you into your future, a better future. Another way I articulate transition is I liken it unto the children of Israel when they were enslaved in Egypt. And so I like to say transition is when God forces you off the shores of Egypt into the Red Sea, but headed for your promised land. So Egypt represents slavery. It represents bondage. So God is kicking you out of bondage. He's kicking you out of slavery. He's kicking you out of prison. But he points you in the direction of the Red Sea, and you think that the waters are going to drown you, but the waters are not going to drown you. The waters are going to only wash away that which cannot go into Canaan with you. And of course, Canaan represents your promised land. It represents your land of milk and honey. So it's when God forces you out of your slavery situation, out of your bondage situation, but he's pointing you towards the Red Sea. He's pointing you in a direction that doesn't seem like it's going to promote you going and advancing to the next level, but where he's pointing you is going to advance you instead of taking you under. So those would be four definitions that I like to use for transition.
Beautiful. Well, who is your book for?
I say this book is for anyone who knows they've hit a place where something has ended and you know you're not to return to it, but the next thing has started, but you haven't yet arrived in it. That thing that could be ending could be a mindset. It could be a belief system. It could be an old way of operating. It could be a relationship. It could be your connection to an institution or an organization. It could be a title you've always identified with. But it's for those who know that they're in a place where something is ending and they know they can't return to it. But they're not quite into the thing, the next thing that they're going into. It could be for individuals who are nearing retirement. It can be for individuals who have just stepped into retirement. And so this is a whole new season they've never been in. This book is for individuals who are going through divorce or on the other side of divorce, or facing an illness. It's for anyone who's in any kind of position where something is ending and they know they can't return to it, but the next thing has started and they haven't yet arrived in it. And I think we all face periods like that where we know that what we've always reached for, we can't reach for that anymore, and we need to reach for something higher, something different, something new, something more enlightening, more incredible, something more aligned with our destiny. So that's who I would say
even
this book
if,
is for.
Thank you. Even if we're not going through a major life transition, just moving from one moment to the next can be a form of transition for us. And we've talked a little bit about reaching, using focus while staying present to move forward, and how you use vision. I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about vision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So vision, I'd say there's four levels of vision. There's insight, there's hindsight, there's foresight, and there's oversight. Let's take them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Insight, I want to give you the perspective of that being sight from within. You see, we see, we don't really see with our eyes, the eyes in our head. We see through our eyes. We really see with the eyes of our heart. Okay, so the eyes that you have in your head are for seeing what is. But the eyes that you have in your heart, that's insight, that sight from within, is for seeing what could be, and perhaps even what's preventing it from being. So that's what I call insight, sight from within, seeing not with the eyes in your head, because you, when you're looking through the eyes in your head, then you're only seeing what currently is. When you look with the eyes in your heart, the eyes from within, then you can see what's not. Then you can see what could be. Then you can see all the possibilities. It's called imagination. So what God does is he gives us the ability to get a vision, a picture of our future that's so incredible that it's powerful enough to cause us to go and pursue it. So the first level of vision is insight. Then there's hindsight. That's sight after the fact. And let me just give you this example. Not too long ago, my wife and I took a flight from Detroit Metropolitan Airport to Cancun, Mexico. And when we approached the airport, prior to getting on the airplane, if we looked out from the airport, we could only see maybe 100 yards into the city of Detroit. Our vision was very limited. But when we got up in the plane and began to leave the city of Detroit, at some point we could look out the window and look behind us and see the entire city. So sometimes you can't really tell all of what a situation or a time period or a season of your life really meant until you get away from it and look back on it. And your ability to gain the broader perspective from moving away from a situation or a season or a time period and looking back at it, you can gain wisdom beyond what you would even imagine. It's when you get away from a situation and then look at it that you can see what really was going on, what those people's intentions really were, what was really going on behind the scenes. So that's what I would say hindsight is. It's the ability to break away from a situation and then look back on it and gain perspective about what really happened. And then you have foresight. That's seeing something ahead of time. You will always be surprised by events until you practice discerning what's to come. See, if we just wait for things to come without discerning what is on the horizon, we will always be surprised by everything that comes. So I believe we need to take time and get away from everything and begin to discern what's about to change, as opposed to waiting for what did just change. Begin to just use your discernment to see what is about to change, what is going to happen in the near future, what do I sense are potential eventualities. Taking time to discern what's about to happen will will put you in a position where you're not always surprised by current events. So you've got insight. You've got hindsight. I just described foresight. And then you've got oversight. Oversight. That's sight from the top. If I were to sit down in a room and look across the room, there's certain things, you know, that would give me a certain vantage point. But if I was to stand, to be able to get up to the ceiling and look down, then I could see everything. Because sight from the top is the broadest type of vision. It's that's how God looks at things. He can see everything because he's from the he's looking from a position of being at the top. And that's how you have to have oversight. You've got to tap into God's wisdom because he sees everything from the top. It's I call it supervision. That's why you have a supervisor at work. It's someone who's supposed to have vision that's broader than you, that gives you guidance. That's why they're called your supervisor. So you have insight, you have hindsight, you have foresight, and then you have oversight.
That's what are some of the ways that we can tap into God's wisdom and gain oversight?
Tapping into God's wisdom. I'll give you a few ways that I do it. I like to get alone with God. And the way I practically do that in practical terms is I have a set place and a set time that I go to sit, what I say, in God's presence. In other words, I am very deliberate that this is what I'm doing. I'm setting aside this time to go and sit still in God's presence. And sometimes I pray. But prayer is not just me saying words. Prayer is communication. So it's picking up the cues and the nudges and the coincidences. I like to call them God incidences. The apparent strange happenings that we call coincidences. I would say all of that is picking up God's wisdom, sitting alone with him and just picking up the cues and the nudges and the nods. I often sit in God's presence with a pen in my hand and a pad in front of me. Or if you record things on your electronic device, I'd say have your electronic device in you, in front of you, and be ready to just listen. So you basically let God know, hey, I'm coming to be in your presence just to be with you and to pick up what it is that you're communicating. Oftentimes I like to have a pen in my hand because I believe that there's certain parts of God's wisdom he will never disseminate to you unless he knows you're going to record it. It's like God is saying, this is so important, I'm not going to say it to you unless I know you're going to record it, because I want it to be recorded so I know in the future you can refer back to this incredible thing that I'm going to give you. So I would say tapping into God's wisdom is learning to get alone with him and picking up the cues and picking up the nudges and the nods and picking up the coincidences of life. Oftentimes in solitude, we can hear things that were drowned out by the noise of life. And so getting alone to just be in God's presence, you're going to be picking up things that otherwise could even be communicated, but are being drowned out by life's twists and turns and noise and mind traffic. So that would be my best answer to that. I hope I didn't ramble too much there.
No, that was fine. Thank you very much for that. We've talked about some painful circumstances that can happen to people. At least that's the way it feels initially for us when we go through some of these transitions in life. Is there any divine purpose to the pain?
You know, I want to articulate that this way. Sometimes God allows the puzzle pieces of our life to spill out of the box, so he can come along and put the pieces back together in a way that they'll fit to create the picture of your next season. So when I say that, I'm not saying that God brings pain, but God sure can use it, create something incredible that otherwise would not have been created had you not experienced the pain. So I don't believe God is the one that's behind the pain, but I believe that pain can be used for promotion. Pain is not an enemy, but pain is a signal that something is out of place. And so I believe God uses pain. I don't believe he sends it, but I believe he uses it to create movement and to create you seeking answers and alternatives and solutions. And I think it causes pain can result ultimately in promotion. So, yeah, I believe there is some divine purpose to the pain that we experience in life. I believe that there are no wasted experiences, that God can use anything that has occurred in your life to advance your life. So I would say, yeah, there's some divine purpose to any pain that you experience.
Thank you. We do have some callers on the line, and I'd like to get to the phone lines. But before we do that, I want to make sure that people know where they can find your book and how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. My book is available wherever books are sold. So if you go to your local bookstore, they may not stock the book, but they can certainly get it for you. Of course, you can get it right now on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Again, the book is titled Transition. And, again, my name is Stan Ellis. So if you Googled transition and then my name, Stan Ellis, you'll see it on Barnes & Noble or Amazon, or you can put me in the Amazon search engine when you go to Amazon.com and you'll see the book title come up. So, again, you can get it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can order it from your local Barnes & Noble. You can call the store and order it, and they'll call you when the book is there. Or you can go to any bookstore, and if they don't have it in stock, they can certainly order it for you. I am available on multiple social media sites. I'm on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is Stan Ellis, the numeral 2. So Ellis is spelled E-L-L-I-S. It's Stan Ellis, the numeral 2, on Twitter. Of course, I'm on Facebook. You can just put Stan Ellis in the search engine on Facebook and locate me there. I also have a blog. The blog is spirituallegislator.com. That's spirituallegislator.com. You can even email me. You can email me at iamstanellis@gmail.com. That's iamstanellis@gmail.com.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the phone lines. I know the identity of the first caller. It's Diana. And Diana is a guest on my show sometimes. She was on last night. Hi, Diana. How are you?
Hi, David. I'm good. Hi, Stan.
How are you, Diana?
I go through a lot of transitions.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. How do you bring in the people? because a lot of times the people do come, but they can't really handle my my light. So they come and go.
Cool.
They don't stay for the season. So how do you actually really, besides praying and calling and saying this is, I would like to have the right people in come into my life.
Well, that's a very tricky thing to do. A lot of times, when you become a true student of what it is you're pursuing, then the right people will begin to emerge. So when you become really serious about what it is that you're trying to pursue, even your teacher will emerge. So I would say stay at it. Know what it is you're trying to, where you're trying to go. Know where you're trying to advance to and be a true student of it, and then the right people will begin to emerge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a little bit of a nomad, Diana. That must create a challenge.
I've been there, done that, what you're saying. I did all those things. You know, I became a naturopathic doctor. I'm a holistic healer. But I, what other people might call, like David said, a nomad, tipsy, I follow the voice of spirit. I don't actually say what it is because I'm a light worker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go. I go where I am called to go. And that is what happens to me. I get put where I'm called to go. So, but I would like for it to be, like, I am the person that you're saying, who is that person that would fight for you, would be there for you. I am that person. But I would sometimes like for someone to be there for me. So.
Sure.
I'd like to, I just wanted to know a better way to find the people. The people who were not afraid of your life, or no better way of saying it.
I understand. Sometimes when you are a nomad type person like you, you don't really need a lot of people support. You typically, you are the people support. You're the support for others. So a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
you don't really require a lot because you're vision oriented. You follow spirit. You have a sense of where you're going because you are pursuing your destiny. You're allowing your destiny to pursue you. So you don't have a lot of people needs. But
yeah,
I believe that if and when you do, the right ones will emerge. The right ones will emerge.
Okay. I'll just believe
that. Diana, we're going to go to the other caller, but thanks for calling in and listening tonight. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, God bless. Okay, the next caller is from area code 780. What is your name, please?
It's Jay calling from Canada.
Hi, Jay. How are you tonight?
Good. How about yourself?
Very good. Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to say to Stan?
Yes, Stan, it's been listening to your show. It's been really informative. And, yeah, I've heard a lot of this stuff before. And my question is that regarding people, you know, instead of, like, doing the work, but actually having the courage or vulnerability to do the work and how would you say it, have the tenacity of doing it and carrying it out with some discipline, I find that we're in a distracted world, and that is the lure that keeps us from actually growing. I just wonder what your thoughts about that is.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of distractions almost in every moment.
Yes.
It's that's very tricky to navigate through. But I would say, try to always be conscious of the fact that you're making yourself available. You're here to serve, and you're a vessel. Always see yourself as a vessel and just remind yourself that I'm a vessel. And when you keep that mindset and that consciousness, even in the midst of distractions, you can even trip up and still bless someone or help someone or encourage someone or minister to someone without you even trying, because you're in this conscious state of the fact, hey, that I'm a vessel. So sometimes people will tell you, you said something to them that really encouraged them, and you may not even remember it. Sometimes people will say, you know, I really appreciate the advice you gave me, and you didn't necessarily give them advice. You just listened to them, and your presence was advice. Just you being there gave them a sense that someone was speaking to them and advising them. So I just say stay in a state of have a conscious mind that, hey, I'm here as a vessel. At any given moment, God can use me to serve in some capacity, whether it just be my presence. So that's what I would say as a way to muddle through all of the distractions and still be of service and be available for ministry.
Yeah, so what would you think about navigating? What tips would you give in this society of distractions? Because this is what I see all the time with my friends too, and they're not there. They're just not there. Even though you think they're there, they're not there. They're not even conscious that they're being led by something else.
Yeah, some tips would be, you know, I try to get up before the day does. I'll say it that way. So I try to get a faster start than the day does. So I'll say it like this: never start a day until you finish it first. So before the day even starts, get up and get a feel for what this day is all about. And, you know, set things in order before you even leave the house. Remind yourself of who you are and what your place in the world and what your place in the universe is, and who you're called to be. And just, you know, set that as a focus before the day starts, because if you don't, you walk into the day and then the day starts pushing you around and telling you what to do and grabbing your attention and sending you in every direction, as opposed to you ordering the day, then the day is ordering you. So I say get up in the morning and tell the day what it's going to do. Actually, speak out loud to the day and say, this is a day of divine alignment. Everything in my life is going to be perfectly aligned. This is a day of divine focus. Everything in my life is going to be purpose-driven, and I'm going to be focused. I'm eliminating distractions. I mean, actually tell the day what it's going to do before you even enter it. And you'll notice a whole different vibe of your life, a whole different flavor of your life when you do that on a regular basis. So as opposed to you waiting for life to throw at you all of its distractions before you even move into the day, you tell the day what it's going to do, what you're going to have, what you're not going to allow, what you're not going to permit. That's what I do.
Okay.
I speak to the day as if it's a person.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, Jay. We're at the end of the hour, so we're going to wrap up now. But appreciate your listenership, and thank you for calling tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
God bless. Well, Stan, thank you. The hour went very quickly. You gave a lot of information, and, you know, there would be so much more to talk about, but I really appreciate your presence tonight.
Oh, thank you so kindly for having me. It's been great. I've loved it.
Wonderful. Well, with that said, now it's time to come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.